I want to start off with a question maybe this tonight. What would you say is the single most important thing we need to understand, or at least try to understand, about God? And it's just here, us here tonight, so answer me. What do you think? That he's God, okay. Forgiveness, okay. How much he loves us, okay. All right, Sharon wins prize. Ding, 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 ding. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. His love for us. I think that's probably one of the most important things we need to understand, and maybe one of the most misunderstood. I'm not sure. So tonight's talk tonight was all about love. That's what we're going to talk about. Everything we do should stem from God's love for us. Everything, every aspect of our life should stem from his love for us. Now, if we love Jesus, we should. Here's a few things. We should worship him if we love Jesus. We should read the Bible. We should pray. We should tell others about Jesus. We should attend church, obviously. We should help those in need. All those things that we should do if we love Jesus. Does anybody disagree with that here tonight? Everybody agrees with that. I think that's absolutely wrong. Every bit of that. I don't think that's right at all. And here's what I really think it should be. Here's a little bit different. I think it should be because Jesus loves us, we should do all of these things. It's not because we love him. And I hope as we go on tonight that maybe I can give you a little insight as to why I think that. But I think it's because he loves us is the reason that we should do all those different things. Many times we'll tell people, hey, if you love Jesus, you would do this. Or to be saved, you need to love Jesus and do what he says. You know, you need to do this thing if you love Jesus. And I don't think that's possible because a lot of people say, well, I try to love Jesus, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. You know, how can I love somebody that I can't see or feel or touch? And we can't go by our feelings. We can't go, and to be honest with you, sometimes we don't feel like loving Jesus. We really don't. In our own human way, we don't feel like it. And so I don't think it's real possible. Proverbs 28:26 says, those who trust in themselves are foolish, but those who live wisely will be kept safe. If you trust in yourself, if you trust in your own feelings about things, you're going to fall on your face. And I think that's where a lot of people have a lot of problem. We tell them, you need to love Jesus. And they try it, and they think, okay, yeah, maybe I do. And they try it with all their human might, with everything they've got, and they do it okay for a while. And then it gets boring. And then they kind of fall away. And in their own human strength, they can't do it. The love that's within themselves, they can't do that. It's not possible to do that. How can we love God? I think we have to understand his love for us. I think it all stems from that. I think that's vitally important for us to understand his love for us. Because I don't think it's possible for us to love him unless we understand his love for us. Because God is love. That's where it comes from. And in our own human power, it's not going to happen. It's not possible to love Jesus and obey his commandments without understanding his love for us. If we try to love Jesus with just our human feelings, we will fail. We will fail. If we just try it in our own strength, if we just give it everything we've got and say, I'm going to love Jesus and leave him out of the equation, you're going to fall on your face. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to. 1 John 4:10, this is the key verse for tonight. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God. It is not our love for God. It is God's love for us in sending his son to be the way to take away our sins. Amen. That's about as clear as it gets, guys. This is what love is. It's not our love for God. It's his love for us. And we really need to grasp that, and it's probably one of the hardest things we'll ever have to do in our lives is to try to grasp that. How do we understand Jesus' love for us? Well, it's written down in the Bible. That's one way. Let's look at just a few verses. Here's a couple here. Psalms 36:5-7 says, Lord, your love reaches to the heavens, your loyalty to the skies. Your goodness is as high as the mountains. Your justice is deep as the great ocean. Lord, you protect both people and animals. God, your love is so precious. You protect people in the shadow of your wings. God's love is very, very precious. Jeremiah 31:3 says, and from far away the Lord appeared to his people and said, this is the Lord talking himself, said, I have loved you people with a love that will last forever. Forever. His love is never ending. That is why I've continued showing you kindness. Lamentations 3:22-24 says, the Lord's love never ends. It never ends. His mercies never stop. They're new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. I say to myself, the Lord is mine, so I have hope in him. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take delight in you, and he'll quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. What a comforting thought that the Lord takes delight in loving us. What an amazing thing. Have you ever thought about that? This is the kind of thing, guys, we need to think about and get deep in us. God, the creator of the universe, delights in loving me. That blows my mind. I don't get that. I mean, I really don't get that. I don't understand that. Why in the world that he would ever do that? 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know the love God has for us, and we trust that love. God is love. And those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. 1 John 3:1-2 says, the Father's loved us so much that we're called his called the children of God, and we really are his children. And another amazing verse. We really are his children. Wow, just let that sink in a second. We are his children. God loves us. The reason people in the world don't know us is because they have not known God. They're trying to love with their human self. They don't have the love that God's got in them. John 15:9 says, I loved you as the Father loved me. Now remain in my love. How much did the Father love his Son? How much? And that's how much Jesus loves us. That's how much Jesus loves me. Again, that just blows my mind. I don't even hardly know how to understand that. We don't understand Jesus' love for us the way that we should. I don't understand it. I've been trying my best. This has been something I've been thinking about a lot just, I don't know, the last year or so. And a year ain't near enough time. I ain't figured it out yet. I just don't get it. I don't understand why he loves us so much. Most of us say we do. Most people say they love God. But we put family, fun, work, school, all these other things in front of him. We do that all the time, constantly. Anytime, think about this for a second. The Bible tells us that God needs to be first. We need to love him first and understand his love for us first. But anytime there's any activity, just pick one, anything. Pick any activity, anything you like to do, anything you have to do, work, school, whatever, play, fun, whatever. Pick any activity. Something's going on that activity needs your attention. You're supposed to be doing this activity. But at the same time, church has an activity going on. Which one wins? Not occasionally. Over 99% of the time. It does. I'm the youth pastor, and so I hear all the excuses from the kids why they can't do something. And they don't have a problem in the world telling me, oh, sorry, I can't, I've got this. It don't bother them in the least to say that. They wouldn't even dream, it wouldn't even cross their mind to go to the other person that wants them to do something and say, sorry, I can't do it, I got this church thing. Why not? Isn't that the opposite of the way it should be? Shouldn't the church activities, the church things, and worshiping God and doing things for him be first? And then if we have time, the other things are great, not a problem with it. But when there's a choice to be made, which one wins? Every time, basically. Every time. And we don't even question it. It's like, we don't even think about it. It's like, you mean there's a choice? Oh, okay, yeah, church can wait. Not a big deal. We'll go do this. And it doesn't bother me at all to come tell me that. I hear it all the time, constantly, constantly. And so we say we put God first, but we really don't. Jesus said we must put him first in everything. Everything. Even above our families is what the Bible says. Even above our families. How can this be? How can we actually put God above everything, including our families? Well, in Matthew 10:37-39 it says, those who love their father or their mother more than they love me are not worthy to be my followers. Wow. Those who love their son or daughter more than they love me not worthy to be one of my followers. Whoever is not willing to carry the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who try to hold on to their lives will give up true life. Those who give up their lives for me will hold on to true life. That's some pretty harsh words, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that seem kind of harsh? That he would demand that we love him more than our spouse or our families or your kids? You know, I'm supposed to love Jesus, who I've never even seen, more than I love my family? How does that work? How could we even begin to think about that? Well, no matter how perfect you think your mate or your family may be, bottom line is they're still not perfect. They're not perfect. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much they love you, they're not perfect. And what does that mean? Well, no matter how much your spouse or family loves you, they're still not capable of giving you perfect love because they're not perfect. And we were created to have a perfect love relationship with our Father. And that's what we strive for. I mean, doesn't everybody want to have someone to love them? I mean, isn't that a common thing? Don't we all want love in our lives and to have a perfect love? Isn't that what we're all striving for? Everybody strives for that. People that go to church, people that don't go to church, people that are saved, people that don't, it doesn't matter. Everybody strives to have a perfect love relationship. And if you're trying to find that in your spouse or your family, you're going to miss the mark. If someone's trying to find that in you, they're going to miss the mark. Because there's only one perfect love, and that's with our Father, Jesus. That's where we need to be finding our perfect love relationship, not in other people. They will let you down, no matter what. They cannot fulfill your need of love, but if you're both drawing closer to the source of love, Jesus, guess what? You automatically get closer to each other. And that's happened. I can testify to that. I love my wife more than I ever have. Way more than I ever have. It just gets better and better. And how'd that happen? Because I started getting closer to God. She started getting closer to God. And we didn't even work on our relationship. It just happened. Because we were all focused on one thing. It works, guys. It absolutely works. We need to put Christ first. Now, here's a verse. I think it's coming up next here. This is a verse you don't normally associate with love. But I think it kind of applies here. Romans 1:25 says, they traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served what had been created instead of the God who created those things, who should be praised forever. Amen. Now, we normally associate that with idol worship and worshiping of things that God made, the stars, the planets, you know, people that into astrology and stuff. You know, we associate it with that. People worship animals, you know, all those sort of things. And we associate it with that. But I think it can apply here too. And why do I think that? Well, our family is just another one of God's creations that was created for Him, not for us. We need to worship the Creator, not the created. As much as I love my wife, she's just another one of God's creations that was designed to worship Him, not me. Not me. It wasn't for each other. We're designed to have a relationship with the one that created us. We're supposed to worship the Creator, not things that have been created. And your family and your friends, your husband, your wife, your kids, those are all just God's creations. And they themselves were created to worship God, not each other. Now, that doesn't mean that God expects us not to love each other. Not at all. And we're going to look at that here in just a second. But we were designed to worship God and have a relationship with Him. I couldn't come up with any kind of an analogy for this. I tried and I couldn't, but here's a stupid one. Maybe you'll get a little out of it. Let's say that you were to go to a pound and look at a bunch of dogs that they had in the pound, and you saw a whole bunch of cute little puppies, and you, oh, I love them, I got to take them home. So you bring them all home, and you feed them, and you take care of them, and you basically give them life. You know, you nurse them back to health, you feed them every day, you take care of them, you meet their needs, you know, whatever. Okay? Which is kind of what God does for us. He's our Creator, and He supplies all of our needs. Everything comes from Him. Everything. And so let's say that you have these little puppies and they're cute and whatever, and you take care of them, you nurse them to health, you give them everything they need to survive. What if as time goes on and they grow up, they just have fun and play with one another and they just have a good time, but every time you come close, they snarl and try to bite you? Okay? And I mean really just start attacking you as soon as you back off. They all just have love and fun. That's kind of the way it is with us and God. He's our creator, our provider, and he wants to have a relationship with us, and we have a good relationship amongst ourselves, and ignore him. How do you think that'd make him feel? Like I said, it's not a great analogy, but it's the best I could come up with. But that's kind of it. We're supposed to have a relationship with the provider, with the creator, with the one who sustains our life, that gives us everything. That's our relationship. That's the perfect relationship, the one that we cannot get from any other person. We can't get it from any other way. That's the reason we're supposed to love him first, foremost, the most, in everything. Then all the other relationships will come out of that. Every time. All right, this does not mean we don't love other people. Matter of fact, quite the opposite. We are able to love other people because of God's love for us. We're not even able to love other people the way we should until we understand God's love for us. This is such an important thing, and I think a lot of times, a lot of people that go to church or claim to be Christians, we go about this love thing through the back door. We try to love God and love our neighbors, and we tell other people, you need to love and you need to do this. No. You don't even need to try to love anybody else. You need to love God and understand his love for you. The other ones will just happen. As you accept Christ into your life and understand his great love for you, the other love relationships will just happen. You won't have to work on them. Like I said, me and Sharice were tighter than we've ever been, and I didn't work on that. I worked on my relationship with God, and this one just happened. I didn't even try. It just happened. And so that's what you need to work on. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what real love is. Jesus gave his life for us. So we should give our lives to our brothers and sisters. We should do that. So it doesn't mean that we don't love each other. We just put God first. That's all. 1 John 4:19-20 says, we love because God first loved us. If people say, I love God, but they hate their brothers and sisters, they're liars. Pretty strong words, but that's what he says. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God who they've never seen. Not possible. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, you're God's children whom he loves, so try to be like him. Live a life of love just as Christ loved and gave himself for us, a sweet-smelling offering and a sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5:25-26 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How? He gave himself for it. Give. He gave it away. And we do that through Christ. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Can you think of anything on this earth, not including God, and you know we're kind of putting that out of, but just on this earth that we know of, people you can see and touch, would you give anything for your family? Is there anything that you would put ahead of your family or your wife or your kids or anything? Can anybody think of anything? I mean, if you've got kids and someone come up and put a gun to one of your kids' head and said, if you don't quit your job, I'm going to kill them. Would you quit your job? Which is more important, job, kids? Which one? Okay? I assume everybody here would say the kids and you'd quit your job, right? I don't know of anything that you could put ahead of your family. Am I wrong there? Okay. Everybody agrees that your family is more important than anything else on the planet. Okay? Here, that we have. Well then, if we're supposed to love Jesus more than we love our spouse and our family, and we're supposed to put him first, even above those things that we wouldn't take anything for, then is it just possible that he should be more important than the things that we do? If you remember, I said when there's an option between things to do, activities, and God, the other activities win every time. Every time. So that means we're putting God below activities. Wow, that's not even close to where he's supposed to be, is it? See, we value our spouses and our family more than anything on this earth. Activities, way under that. But we choose activities over God. That puts him way down. He says he's supposed to be more important than our families. We're supposed to love God more than our families, even. I don't think we're putting things in the right place at all. Not even close. Why do we say we love God but put other things first? Isn't that a lie? If we say that we love God but yet we put other things ahead of him, isn't it a lie to say that we love him? It's possible, maybe. Judas, and we had this in Sunday school just a couple weeks ago, maybe last week. We talked about this, and I got this out of the, and this wasn't even part of the Sunday school lesson, but this kind of hit me. Judas said that he loved Jesus. And you know what? I really believe he did. I really believe Judas did. And the Bible doesn't tell us specifically that. This is just my own thinking. I think Judas really did love Jesus. After he turned him over to be killed, he went out and hung himself. I mean, it bothered him. I mean, it really bothered him that he had betrayed him. Why? So why did he betray Jesus? If Judas loved him, well, I believe he tried to love Jesus with his human feelings, with his human love. And again, this is just my opinion on this, and not with God's love. That's what I think. And that comes from an understanding and accepting of his love for us and what he's done for us. Everything flows out of our understanding of what God did for us and his love for us. And that's what we need to understand, which that's really hard to understand. I believe Judas' sin controlled his thinking more than his love of Jesus. I think Judas loved Jesus with his human love. You know, yeah, I love Jesus. Boy, he's a great guy. You know, everything. I really believe he had feelings for him and loved him. But he didn't have a personal relationship with him. He didn't understand what Jesus was doing for him. And I don't think he understood everything that was going on there. And he let his sin control his thinking more than his love of Jesus. What sin do we let control our thinking? Judas used money. He wanted the money more than he wanted to walk with Jesus. Even though he loved him, he still betrayed him. So what do we sell out Jesus for? What do we put in front of Jesus when we say that we love him? To be able to love Jesus and to love others and to please God, we must put him first. He's got to be first. And to put him first, we must understand his love for us. And that's the hard one, is to really understand his love for us. I think that's the part people don't get. Now, I can understand why God wanted to make humans. I can kind of understand that. I mean, he wanted to show his great power. He wanted to have a relationship with other beings and have a love relationship and show his love to other people. I can understand why he would want to make humans. I kind of get that. But here's what I don't understand. Here's what I can't grasp this. When we break God's rules and curse him to his face and ignore him, we ignore him. We do everything in the world except for what he wants to. We ignore him in the choices we make. We ignore him when we do other things instead of worshiping him. There's a good lot of people that come to church, not just this church, churches all over America. There's a whole lot of people that go to church on Sunday mornings that just will stay home. They really should. They're not there to worship God. They're not there to find out anything about him. They're not there to participate. They're not there to get any scripture. They're just there. They're just there. We ignore him. We ignore him in lots of ways. We can come to church every time the door's open and ignore God. All the time. It happens constantly. How do I know? Because I was in church a lot before, and I ignored God a long time. And I came to church, but I was ignoring him. I wasn't putting him first. So here's what I can't understand. We break his rules. We curse him to his face. We ignore him. And because of that, we deserve death, which that means to be separated from him. We deserve to be separated. I've used this illustration for the teen class before. It's the best one I can come up with. If someone wants to come and live with you, and you say, sure, come on in and live with you, you're probably going to have some rules. Yeah, you can live with me, but, you know, you got to do this and that and, you know, respect my house and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You do all this. It's reasonable. If you let that person into your house, they start breaking every dish in sight, knocking holes in the wall, cursing out your spouse. You're going to say, hit the road, buddy. You can't live with me anymore because you're breaking all my rules. It's no different from God. How do we expect to live with God in his house in heaven forever and break all of his rules? It's really simple. When we break our rules and don't live according to the way that God wants us to and accept his salvation, we can't live with him in heaven. So what happens when you can't live with him in heaven? You have to be separated from him for eternity in hell. And that's what it means. And so it's not hard to understand why you couldn't live with him. We break his rules. We curse him. We ignore him. But here's what I don't understand. And when God could have very easily just killed us all and started over. And I don't know why in the world he didn't do that. He almost did several times. He come really close a couple of times, just killing everybody. But why he don't just get rid of us all and just start over is beyond me. But here's what I really don't understand. Why would Jesus then step up and say, wait, Father, let me die instead. I'll take their punishment. I don't get that. I really don't get that. Why in the world would he do that? This is the creator of the universe who just spoke and everything you see out in the sky happened. He could have just said, bye, you're gone. New humans. I mean, in an instant, we could have been gone and he could have created new ones. Why didn't he? He loved us. I don't get it. His love for us, that's what we have to grasp. We've got to understand his love for us. Why in the world he would do that, I don't know. Romans 5, 6, and 8 says, when we were unable to help ourselves, at the moment of our need, Christ died for us, although we were living against God. At the moment of our need, when we were unable to help ourselves, not only do we need to understand how great God is and how much love he has for us, if he hadn't have done that, we were unable to help ourselves. We would be without hope. Totally. Guys, we need to think about this. We need to think deep. Spend some time thinking about this, how much God loves you and what would have happened had he not. We were without hope, unable to help ourselves. And then verse 7 goes on to say, very few people die to save the life of someone else, although perhaps for a good person someone might possibly die. But God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. I don't get it. But the more I try to get it, the more I want to love him and worship him. The more I want to try to do right, the more I understand how much he loves me. This is the love that we need to try to understand. This is the love we need to try to understand. It's his great love for us. If someone on earth saves your life, they've given you a very great gift. They really have. But it's very temporary at best. It's just temporary. But guess what? When Jesus saves your life, it's an eternal gift. An eternal. Think about that. It could have been an eternal death had he not loved us. The creator of the universe, who had unlimited choices, could have done whatever he wanted. He could have just wiped us off the earth, started over. He didn't have to love us. He didn't have to give us a chance. He didn't have to make a way for us to live with him. But he did. We need to understand that love for us. Then, because of his love for us, our love for him will grow. That part will automatically come. Then we will do those things that we looked at the beginning. You know, when I said, if you love Jesus, you will do these things. That will automatically come. You don't have to try and do those. You don't have to even think about it. You don't have to tell somebody, well, if you love Jesus, you would do this. If someone's not coming to church and they claim to be a Christian, you don't need to tell them, hey, if you love Jesus, you'd be in church. That won't do any good because they'll try to love Jesus out of their human love. You need to tell them, you need to understand Christ's love for you. They'll automatically come to church then. The rest of it will automatically happen. 1 John 4:10, I've already given you this verse, but I want to give it to you again. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God. It's not our love for other people. Even though those things will result out of it, and we will love other people with a great love you can't even believe, but that's not what it's about. We shouldn't even try to do that. We shouldn't try to love other people. We shouldn't try to love our spouse. I know that sounds weird, but you really shouldn't try. You need to try to have a relationship with God, and the other one will happen automatically. It is God's love for us in sending His Son to be the way to take away our sins. That's what it's about, is understanding God's love for us. That's what we need to be trying to do. If we try and love Jesus with only our human love, it will fail. It'll fail. You can't keep it up. You can't create this facade and say, okay, I'm going to love Jesus and not have a relationship with Him and not experience His love for you. It won't work. It'll fail every time. We must try and grasp His love for us. And guess what? It will transform your life. I know from personal experience, if you try to grasp His love for you and understand what He did when He didn't have to, it'll transform your life to understand His love for you.